Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk. Have you ever wondered, who am I, or why am I here, or what is the meaning of my life, or what is the meaning of life itself? Surely most all of us have. You know, whatever else we seek to do in our lives, we seek to find a meaning or a purpose for life itself, whether we verbalize it or it's just this unspoken vibration at the base of our being. Why? What? Who? The philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche said, and there's a lot in this, whoever has a why to live can bear almost any how. Now, that's a statement. Whoever has a why, a reason to exist, can withstand almost any how, because you have a reason to go on, something to fight for. So why are you here? What is the overriding purpose for life and living? And in the last analysis, do we discover life's meaning, or is it something we have to create with our own life, as if it's a blank chalkboard and we have to write it out because there's nothing there? Does our meaning come from God? Maybe. Like Pastor Rick Warren wrote in his incredible book, The Purpose-Driven Life. For Pastor Warren, that's really what it's about, is to find our purpose and let that purpose drive, direct our life, the right life, the kind of daily existence that God wants for us and for our happiness, whatever exactly happiness means, which itself could be the drive, I suppose. So then, are we humans, are we pleasure-driven, as Freud believed, power-driven, as Nietzsche believed, or love-driven, or more than one? You know, what makes you get out of bed in the morning? Well, the alarm, maybe, or you have to get up. But what drives us? What's our meaning? I offer not an exhaustive list, but I'm going to offer 10 major possible reasons for life, or meanings for life. And let me stress that more than one may apply to our lives at any time. Also, there's no reason to assume that we have or have had only one life to work meaning out. It's possible karma, as we have in the East, may be real after all, where we have to work out the consequences of previous lives in this one, whatever you think of that whole business. As I tell people, the Bible never says that this is the only creation God ever made. It just says in the beginning, God. Well, in this beginning. Who knows for sure what may have preceded this life, or what actually might succeed it? The fascinating truth is that we enter this world already with a definite level of activity and interest, with various degrees of introversion and extroversion. And perhaps we do develop along the lines of our DNA. And if given the opportunity to become what we may have sought to be and do from the very beginning of our lives, if we're not blown off course by tragedies, by being abused, or traumas of childhood. So what's going on? I still wonder, at my age, what exactly is this really all about? Let me begin by telling you a very interesting, famous story, albeit an ancient one. It's almost a parable. Okay, a Jewish woman in Eastern Europe had a powerful dream. So she went to the village rabbi the next morning and said, Rabbi, I had this dream last night. And to this her rabbi said, "So tell me what it was, and I'll tell you what it meant." So she told him the dream, and he gave her his interpretation. Somewhat satisfied, as she was walking home, she saw the carriage of an even more prestigious rabbi from a larger Jewish community nearby. So she couldn't help herself. She stopped the carriage and said, "Rabbi, I had this dream last night." To which he replied, "So tell me what it was, and I'll tell you what it meant." She told him the dream, and this rabbi proceeded to give her a completely different interpretation. As you can imagine, this created what's called cognitive dissonance in her, right? What's the truth? What's the truth? So she determined to make an appointment with the most honored rabbi in the country, in the largest city, to get hopefully the most accurate possible interpretation, meaning of her dream. So she made an appointment, and some days later she finally got to meet and talk with him. She said, "Rabbi, I had this dream." And he said, "So tell me what it was, and I will tell you what it meant." Once again, she described her dream, and to her shock, this rabbi rendered yet another, a third interpretation, different than the first two. This time she had to speak up. "Rabbi, now I'm really confused. You are the third rabbi with whom I have shared my dream, and each of you gave me a different interpretation. How can I ever know for sure the true meaning of my dream?" "It's simple," the rabbi responded. "They are all true." "Wow. They're all true?" According to Sigmund Freud, he was kind of brilliant 100 years ago, we can do the same thing for more than one reason. We can have more than one motivation. We like to streamline our lives, but maybe the truth is multiple. This is very much in keeping with the Jewish understanding of the Bible. For example, there's more than one narrative of creation because there were two different traditions and both of them were considered sacred. So rather than decide between Genesis 1 and Genesis 3, the story of Adam and Eve, which is one, and the story from a different source, in the beginning God, boom, 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 you put them both in. You hold them both. It's probably like in your family, if you have traditions, stories that may conflict. So the one side of the family says something happened this way, another side said something happened that way. You don't choose which is the truth. You just simply put them all in the hopper of family lore, family tradition. So here are my 10, and not in the order of importance, but just simply the way I put them down. First is that there's no reason. Life is simply random, and there are many people who are believing that, and that's called nihilism, from nihil, which means nothing. There is no meaning. It's the philosophy that, like the song says, life is what you make it, and what you make it is who you are. So you bring it yourself, but there is no outside ulterior meaning to life. We just have to make one up as we go along. In Shakespeare's play Macbeth, we find this extraordinary soliloquy about life's meaninglessness, which Macbeth recites after his wife has killed herself, Lady Macbeth. And this is something, certainly in my 20s, in my agnostic years, when I didn't know what life meant, these words haunted me. "Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time, and all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle, life's but a walking shadow, a poor player who struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Wow. Is that true? Is life but a walking shadow? A poor player, we strut and fret our hour upon the stage, and then we're heard no more? Wow, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Well, for the person who believes there is no meaning, which would include there is no God, that just may be it. That's not very satisfactory, so let's move on to the second one. School. We're here to learn some essential lessons, and then we move on to whatever. You could say we're here to grow up, to mature, and death would signify our graduation. You know, it is true that we learn more from our mistakes and failures than we do our successes and achievements. That is fascinating. And we remember the things that are undone longer than we remember the things that we have done. So maybe we are here to gain wisdom, understanding, which you don't get from book knowledge. I mean, education is very important, don't get me wrong. Lord knows I've had too much of it. But there's life education. There's wisdom we gain only through experience. And I think this really is a school. Like I say, these 10 are not mutually exclusive. So where are you in your school? Sometimes I think I have to go back and begin all over again. If you fail a course, you get to take it again. Jerome Bruner, who was a child psychologist and a great psychologist of education, talked about something called the spiral curriculum. The spiral curriculum means we go around and around and around again, learning something that's pretty much the same thing until we finally get it. So, you know, in first grade you have something, and then you get the same kind of thing in second grade and the third grade. And you come at it in different ways as you get older and more mature. You go around again and again until finally you get it. There's a lot of truth to that. And if you're like me, I'm stubborn. So sometimes it takes me a while to finally get what it is that God is telling me or seeking to tell me. Okay, third. This life is a time and a place for testing. Wow. Who are we really? What are we going to demonstrate to others and to God by our actions? Now, the testing can be for the sake of our proving whether or not we belong in a better place or are ready for it, since the timing is everything. It can also, this testing, be an opportunity to further develop our character. Now, the Apostle Paul has this extraordinary line of reasoning in Romans 5. And not only that, but we also boast of our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. I thought a lot about that. Okay. Hey, suffering. We're all going to suffer, but suffering produces endurance. You get tested, you persevere, and the perseverance develops character. So look at the greatest generation who went through the Depression or World War II. All that they endured produced great character. And character generates hope. We believe, we hope. And hope, Paul says, will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. God may test, but God does not tempt us. The Apostle James puts it this way in his letter in the first chapter. And then after this, we'll take a break. They're going to let you think about these words. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy. because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. No one, when tempted, should say, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved. Let's let that sink in as we take a short break to listen to the weather.
When severe weather breaks out, tune in to AM 860, FM 95.1, KWPC for detailed weather information.
When you've got too much stuff, Plaza Storage can store all that.
Kitchenware.
Entire bedrooms.
Clothes.
Household goods.
Safe plus secure access. And electronic gates. Camera enforced. Well-lit, clean, locally owned storage base. Sign up online at rentmuscatine.com.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Mainly sunny skies today with a high of 73. Northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 51 tonight. Mainly clear skies. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 71. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
The power of local and the speed of live. This is AM 860, FM 95.1, KWPC.
All right, we're back. That was quite a statement of James. That last section is so profoundly true. Okay, we're tempted by our own desires. God doesn't tempt us. When you have these temptations, if we're lured into and enticed by it, when you let that desire sit in you, it conceives and then it gives birth to sin, meaning what? You may actually act on it. That sin, when it is fully grown, when you act on it, leads to death. There's great forgiveness with God and an endless opportunity to repent, but you need to be aware of your process of being tempted. Life is a test. A test so that we can become who it is we're capable of becoming, which we're not going to become unless we go through the testing. So I think of the 12 weeks I spent at Parris Island, South Carolina, when I was 20 in the Marine Corps boot camp. And I remember the first time we had to run in formation. And they told us, if you fall out, you better break your nose, or we'll do it for you. And so I was running, and I was tired. And ordinarily, I would have stopped. I'd reached my limit, or the limit I thought that I had. And I remember, I was agnostic then, but I remember telling myself, okay, body, when you want to fall, just go ahead and drop. But I'll keep going. And guess what? My body did not drop. I discovered I had another gear in me, another gear of fortitude, another gear of endurance, another gear of perseverance. But how are you going to discover that if you're not tested? So God is the great tester. I think this is true for many of us. In order for us to develop to become what it is we're capable of becoming. Fourth, General Hospital. Hey, we are all diseased. I have preached this at every church I've ever served, looking at the congregation. I said, you know, it's possible we could view church as our general hospital. We're all diseased. We've all suffered. We all have our areas of crazy. One way or another, we're here to get better, to be healed. And pain and suffering just may be a part of the medicine, quote unquote, that we must endure. It only lasts for a time. Khalil Gibran says this about pain in his great book, The Prophet. Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Even as the stone of the fruit must break that its heart may stand in the sun, so must you know pain. And could you keep your heart in wonder at the daily miracles of life, your pain would not seem less wondrous than your joy. That has been a statement I've thought about time and again. And could you keep your heart in wonder at the daily miracles of life? Your pain would not seem less wondrous than your joy. Gibran elsewhere said, who knows but that the angels envy us our pain. Back to this poem. And you would accept the seasons of your heart even as you have always accepted the seasons that pass over your fields. And you would watch with serenity through the winters of your grief. Much of your pain is self-chosen. It is the bitter potion by which the physician within you heals your sick self. Therefore, trust the physician and drink his remedy in silence and tranquility. For his hand, though heavy and hard, is guided by the tender hand of the unseen. And the cup he brings, though it burn your lips, has been fashioned by the clay which the potter has moistened with his own sacred tears. Wow. Fifth, this is heaven. Maybe this really is heaven. We don't even know it. The philosopher Leibniz said that this is the best of all possible worlds. You know, for example, very important example, life's being temporary only makes love more intense and poignant. If you live forever, you know, you could always say mañana, which means not today. It'll be here 1,000 years from now. Life's glories are only heightened, intensified by the temporariness and the fragility of life itself. So life can be as heaven at various moments or longer. And I've had those moments. You can call them heaven moments, beautiful moments of joy, of satisfaction, of peace. Wow. And maybe, you know, if we had just that, at some point we might get bored. Wow. And being lukewarm because we have forever is an abomination to God. Sixth, maybe this is hell. A place for suffering. A place for seeing what you want, but not being able to have it. Whether it's plenty, or prestige, love, or friends. What's going on in this world with terrorism and the inhumanity of humanity? It just, maybe this is hell. So life can be as hell at various times. And there are times we can feel as if we've entered into hell, hopefully just for a period of time. And maybe that's what it takes to break us so that we can turn to God and say, okay, God, I can't get any farther without you. Please help me reach our point of our own limitations. Seven. This is purgatory. To purge means to cleanse. So maybe we're here to gain our freedom and be purified from our sins and or our negative karma, which is the cause and effect and things we've done in the past for which there must be resolution. Are we here to purge ourselves of our evil ways? To reform ourselves as a preparation for what is to come? Maybe. And again, life can be all of these at various times. Eight, story creation. Maybe we're here to live out and create stories. Shakespeare also said the play's the thing. I used to be in theater. We love stories. Who knows but that God, having all eternity, is the great storyteller and story creator. And maybe once on the other side, God might say to you, so, tell me your story. What happened? How did you feel? And would help us to tell our story through the Holy Spirit, helping us to remember. Like it or not, we all find ourselves necessarily embroiled in a story beginning with our own family of origin. Who named you? Where were you born? You enter into a family. No one just drops from the sky. And right away, even in your name, your family of origin, begins your story. We each have our story, and we love stories. 9, we're here to do something. We're here because there's some mission, there's something we have to do, which we may not even know what it is or even when or whether we've actually accomplished what we were sent here to do, but we will find out once we're back on the other side. I remember, my friends, back when I was teaching psychology at Iowa Wesleyan College, I had this all-night dream. And I mean, it went on all night because I woke up pretty well exhausted. And in this dream, there was a spiritual guide who took me all over wherever the world. And the whole basis of the dream was everybody was here to do at least one thing, even if they never realized what exactly it was or just when they did it. And of course, there could be multiple things that a person had to do. And nothing was said in this dream regarding being the only reason a person was here. But the whole night we went, the two of us, and observed people doing the thing they were here to do. It was fascinating. Finally, 10, and this is my favorite, by the way, we're here for love generation, to generate love. You know, bees have their honey, and honey is the one food stuff that never, ever spoils. Bees have their honey, and we have our love and love relationships to develop. So in this sense, my friends, you can't possibly take it with you relative to love relationships. The only thing we can take with us is love. Now, if God is love and we can actually increase the love in this world, then we could prove to be of value to God and to humanity. This would include loving God back, since your own creation comes via God's love and calling of you into existence. We're here to increase love in the world. Isn't that a great thing to do? To make a difference? To bring more love into the world, a world that is desperate for it, getting ever more desperate. I'm convinced that the meaning of life, your life and mine, is to be discovered in our own creation. When God created us, he put in our spirit our calling, vocare in Latin means calling of God. God has called us each for certain things and given us a charisma, which means gift of the Spirit, anointing us to do whatever it is that we're called to do. And we sort of know because it just feels right in our soul. It feels right in our being. So just yesterday, I saw a show about a great Chinese pianist and the story of how this was his calling as a little child and all the sacrifices his family made in order to get him to the point of developing as a pianist. And now he's teaching thousands, affecting thousands of Chinese pianist students in China. Amazing story. Amazing story. So what are you here for? You'll know. Let me give you some, in the time remaining, just a couple of quick quotes. Love is our true destiny. We do not find the meaning of life by ourselves alone. We find it with another. Yes, it's when we're in love relationships that meaning pops up as the love itself. Tolstoy said the sole meaning of life is to serve humanity. When Mother Teresa of Calcutta was asked, what is the meaning of life? She said, to help other people. To help other people. Wow. Well, listen, if you would like to hear this show, I will be putting it on my website shortly at drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. If you have any questions about God, please write me at drhalgreen@gmail.com, drhalgreen@gmail.com. Enjoy the life that God has given you. Live fully in the present. Maybe that's the meaning. Blessings.
KWPC K236 CF Muscatine. Available everywhere you go. Download.